So welcome back. First, I want to tell you that next week we will have a book study, and then we are going to have a break during July. I think that it's funny month, July, and still there are a lot of things which are coming, and probably I will be busy too. So I think this, just keep in mind the July no book study. Next week, last one, and then we are going to have a break. So we are going to finish, hopefully, this short chapter, and it's like a short rule of vigilance for those who live in the world. So it means that it is really for us. And we started last time we were talking about the beginning of day and importance of moderation in life. So we are going to continue today. So we are on page 220, the first paragraph from bottom. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Fathers recommend beginners to pray often, but not for long periods of time. When the mind becomes more spiritually mature and becomes stronger and firmer, then it will be capable of praying unceasingly. The following words of the Apostle Paul refer to those Christians who have already grown in Christ. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Such prayer is without passion or distraction or false exaltation, and is appropriate for the grown man, but not yet for the child. Having been enlightened through prayer and reading by the Son of Truth, our Lord Jesus Christ, you may begin your daily work, keeping watch over yourself, that in all deeds and words, in your entire being, may the all-holy will of God, as revealed and explained to man in the commandments of the gospel, rule and act in you.
Well, nice words. And when we read that, these words, we can see that we can notice that this pastoral wisdom of Bishop Ignatius, even he was a monk, he really spent several years in his eparchy, meeting with people, giving advices to people to lead them, and so he didn't have some kind of he knew about the life of people in the world, and he knew about one thing, that everybody is on different level of spiritual life. So it is different when we, and this is why this book has some kind of value for us, because if we read, for example, John Climacus or Isaac Sirian or others who wrote, and they had in mind these monastic communities, so there was some kind of level expected from each of monk. So they were building on this level, on this some kind of expectation, because everybody who made this decision to enter to monastic life, there was some kind of expectation that, well, you are trying hard to reach that. Brancino, when he came and he became like bishop, well, he recognized that, well, there are many reasons why people in the world, Christians in the world, they are not on the same level. And this is why he's very careful not to put some kind of things which can damage spiritual life of his people. And this is why he says in the beginning that and he says, Holy Father recommend beginners to pray often, but not for a long periods of time. And it makes sense. Many times we hear about these saints who pray all night, or they spend hours in prayer. And many times even we are getting these advices to spend a period of time in prayer, long time prayer. But we have to realize that many times if we didn't build the foundation, so this time we are not able to fulfill with prayer. And it's quite dangerous, because then we fulfill this time with activities which has nothing to do with prayer. And what is okay, because usually those activities are some kind of spiritual thing, but we start to identify these activities with prayer. I don't know if it is a good example, but I had conversation once with person who comes for like to do adoration, like 1 hour or a little bit more, and I see that person, you know, reading a book. So I said, well, what is your like structure for this adoration? And well, the person said, nobody explained me that, he told me. So I'm trying to do whatever I'm able to do, keep my mind concentrated. But still, he think, and this is what is a little bit problem in our times, that we, many times we give suggestions, even if it's good, you should do this, you should pray, or you do adoration, you spend time in prayer, but we don't say how, what we are supposed to do, how we are supposed to do. We some kind of assume that everybody knows that. And we have to realize that, well, like, adoration is adoration, it's not spiritual reading. It's not studying like spiritual texts. If I dream that, it is not adoration, it is something different. And to come to adoration, I don't want to put value down, you know, because if you spend in front of Christ even with reading, you know, with reading things, it's okay, it's fine, it's fantastic, but what can happen is that you can identify the spiritual reading with prayer. And this is not truth. Welcome. So this is why he offers at first that, well, he indicates that there is some kind of growth in prayer until we reach this maturity of those who he gives this citation of Saint Paul to Timothy. Another thing is and this advice to give to pray often but in for short time, this is very good advice, because we can slowly master our prayer. when I came to seminary, so there was like, we started at 5:30 morning with morning prayers, and then we are 30 minutes of adoration, meditation, whatever they call, how to translate that. And so we did it. It was, you had to be there. And I remember after 2 months, one of our professors, he asked us, this first grade, that, oh, you had meditation today. How long did they give you to meditate? And he said, well, it's 30 minutes. I, after almost 30 years, I'm able to meditate only like 5 minutes. You know, he was like laughing. And he did it on purpose. He just wanted to, he helped us through this comment very well, because everybody was struggling with that. And he was really right that he was able to be in this deep meditation, you know, like for 5 minutes, it's really a lot of. But we can go deeper and deeper through this practice. What he gives us, Holy Fathers, if they give this advice to beginners, they know this, that where our mind, and especially like beginners in prayer, we can concentrate for a short time. It takes energy, mental energy, almost physical energy. But we can do this. And after that, our mind starts to really disappear. So they say, well, have these moments, have this often, as Bianchino says, many times during day, but have these moments when you somehow go to depth for a short time. Then he continues, he gives other advices. So I think that this is not something what we should use like excuse. We have to work on ourselves and on this ability to pray, but well, we should not somehow go over limits which are given through our mental power, ability of our soul and heart, even body. And if we remember, he was talking about fasting and other things. So if we don't pay attention to our how to prepare our body, then we even cannot expect some kind of good state of prayer. And I would like to, in this place, I would like to maybe address one thing which is somehow important. If we see how he applies some kind of wisdom for people in the world, we should learn from that, and we should be very careful how we share our spiritual life with others. You know, because I know that there was like this is some kind of, it was very popular in past decades, that this stress on sharing your spiritual life, your spiritual experience, sharing with others in order to bring them closer to Christ. What is good, but there is danger which is hidden there. For example, if you, through practice, which took many years, trying to go deeper and deeper to prayer, and you manage that, well, you go for adoration, you are really consumed by this, and you spend this hour very or more in somehow depth, and you start to talk about this to others in order to encourage them, you can cause damage to the person. Because that person can see, can try, encouraged by your example, and suddenly the person will see own weakness, that he's or she's not able to reach that state you described. And from this, many times depression comes, and people give up. They say, well, I am not able to reach that. So yes, to encourage, sure. But be very careful to describe that, and we have to respect spiritual level of that person. You know, it's very important because. But in general, it is. I don't know how it is here in America, but I saw this many times in some kind of. Some kind of like groups, communities, little. There was like pressure to create youth community marriage groups, groups of couples, and they were supposed to meet, talk about faith, to encourage each other. And what I noticed is that two things. One thing is that those who were up, mature some in faith, stagnation came to their spiritual life. Because they started to compare their spiritual life with others who were probably not there. And they said, well, we are fine. We reach the top. Other side, those who were not so mature and they were listening to those who had some kind of spiritual experience, they said, this group is not for me. I'm not able, when I'm going to reach this level of spiritual life. And many times these groups somehow, they found some kind of way how to, the purpose was lost because there was no growth there. Part gave up, the other gave up on growth, there was stagnation, so usually it finished like some kind of social club of people who have the same interests. And we have to be very careful how we articulate those things, our experiences. We have to always see where the person we are talking to, where this person is in spiritual life. Because many times we act like that somebody who is new in faith or he somehow was renewed in faith and has first zeal which came after many years, that person returned back to church. So many times we act like somebody who never climbed like mountain. So he's standing down and we say, just climb, you know, there's like this rope there, just go up, you know. It would not work. We somehow this wisdom should be in us. And all right, probably I said too much about that. Does it make sense? Questions or comments? All right, so let's continue.
If you have any free minutes during the course of the day, use them to read some chosen prayers with attentiveness or read selected passages from the scriptures, and through them, once again, strengthen your spirit, which has become tired through constant activity in the busy world. If you cannot rest even a few such moments for yourself, you should mourn for these free moments as though you have lost a precious treasure. What you have lost today, you must not waste on the next, because our heart easily gives in to lassitude and forgetfulness, from which we can fall to dark inactivity, which is so disastrous to God's work, to the work of the salvation of mankind.
Very good paragraph, and it would be worth it to not only underline this paragraph, but to copy it and to read it every day, morning. you know, because this is something what gives wonderful advice for us. If we take, for example, Saint Isaac is Syrian, and we simplify his teaching about these three levels of knowledge, so we can say that during day we are always somewhere in basically on three levels of, there are three levels or states we are in. And first state is bodily, physical, when our soul is moved and acts through following like bodily desires, passions, or bodily things, worldly things. Whenever in this state we are totally taken by these things, then it might be the second state we can be, it is intellectual, when our mind is really thinking about or it's learning or thinking, doing some kind of mental work. And third level is spiritual level, when our mind is elevated and thinks about God and about our salvation. Oh yes, there are like this combination between bodily and intellectual and spiritual. But those are basically like three states we are during day, and these states are changing. So the advice of Saint Ignatius is, during day, if you have some kind of free moment, have something, acquire this habit to have something at the hand which would bring your soul to look up God, to things connected with your salvation. Have always something you can use to somehow bring your attention up to God. And it's not easy. It's not easy to acquire this habit. But once you acquire that, so then you see, you can feel that, okay, I read something a little bit, I think about that, and usually I am moved through this to short prayer, to expressing gratitude to God, or begging to God for my salvation. I'm like pushed up, and I stay in this level for short time until I'm falling to another state, lower state, and there is freedom in us. Nobody will stop us to go up or down. But usually, more or longer we stay in these lower states, so then it is more difficult to go up. And for sure you have experienced that when you were trying to talk to somebody about spiritual things, it was really, you could feel that they are listening, but these words are doing nothing to that person. That they are not touched by these words or by these ideas you try to give them. And this is true, because when we are in this lower level bodily, we are not able to accept higher things. It's impossible. You are like locked in this state, and this state will not allow these beautiful ideas penetrate to your heart. You can listen, but there is no movement in your heart. These words doesn't touch you or doesn't touch others. So we have to see that, you know, that even when we try to talk about faith, you know, to others, many times they explain or give this advice that if you talk to somebody about God, you have to watch reaction, because this reaction gives you red light or green light. Red light not to continue this direction, green light that you can, based on condition. And condition their soul, condition when they are, and we can read it from reactions. So it is for us good, not only that if we have these moments during day that we try to elevate our soul on higher levels through reading something, which leads us to prayer, to this look to heaven, but it prepares us for receiving impulses from others which can help us on our spiritual path. Okay. Yes.
Father, can you give an example to help differentiate between inactivity that's like disastrous to God's work and necessary rest, so that we can continue to do God's work properly?
What is necessary rest? I'm not sure if I. Well, it's when you sleep.
Yeah. Okay.
I know what you mean, but I don't want to give some kind of exact, you know, like example, because I don't know if you were here when I was talking about Archbishop Philip from Hungary. He was here, and actually you remember this Feast of Saint Nicholas. We had three bishops, one Archbishop Kudrick, then Bishop Milan Lach, he was not Archbishop at that time, and Archbishop Bishop Philip from Hungary. We spent whole day with them. And so during in Cleveland they visited several things. There were some kind of services, and evening was service liturgy here at 7. So we came home around 4 and to prepare things, and then the bishops, they were supposed to come for the liturgy, but it was like 5:15 bishops came. And now Bishop Philip, he asked me, he told me that, well, I am very tired, I need rest. And because Bishop Milan was like spending time in our rectory, so the room for guests was like his, I started to think that where are I going to put him, to which room, you know, and started to think very fast, because I thought that he wants to rest as a sleep. And he saw my hesitation that I'm thinking, and he said, well, you know what, just show me way to the church. So I showed him, he went to the pew, he said, he took chotki, and he started to pray. Later, after like 15 minutes, I went to start preparing for liturgy, and I saw him in the pew, really paying attention to nothing, in deep thoughts, praying. And I told myself, look, this is way how bishops rest. And there is something in there, you know, that I was so moved that there were several from the time I do it very often, I would relatively often. When I am like super tired, so I go to church, trying to believe that if he found rest, I can find rest too. And true is that you go out refreshed. So if you are asking about resting, my encouragement would be, sure, you need sleep what is necessary. You have to have a nice amount of sleep, enough to give rest to your body. But we should remember Christ's words that if you are very tired, come to me. And I guarantee you, you will have this experience of refreshment. So, to rest, for a Christian or for us who believe in Christ, that we are not searching for rest some kind bodily only, or on this level or our body. We really, at the time we are coming to Christ, searching rest from Him, because He is giver of life, and He promised that to us. So I'm going to the right direction.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Does it answer that?
Yes, that makes sense and it definitely helps.
And again, we have to practice that too. So it is not like that, all right, I'm super tired now today, so I'm going to pray and suddenly I feel that I'm even more tired. It comes. More we are able to, more we are practicing that, we are getting this skill, and or our soul finds this source of rest. Okay, so I would go this way. And another thing for good rest, it is that is spiritual reading too, not something intellectual, but something I would say gospel or even like from Philokalia texts, just to read St. Mark, Ascetic of Maxim, the Confessor. It brings some kind of refreshment to soul. Some say that when you, like he says about this, that we should elevate our soul during the day many times up. Just in this movement, when we stop for a moment and we start to think about God, about this higher spiritual things, it brings a relief, no refreshment, and many times even like some kind of new inspiration. Also, okay. Comments or questions? Okay, we want to finish that chapter. All right.
If you happen to do so or say anything contrary to God's commandments, immediately treat the sin with repentance and through genuine confession return to the path of God from which you have veered through the breaking of God's will. Do not waver from the path of God. Battle every sinful thought, imagination, or emotion with faith and the humility of the gospel commands, saying together with the patriarch Joseph, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He who is watchful over himself must reject all flights of fancy in general, no matter how attractive or seemingly good they may seem. Any flight of fancy is a scattering of the mind outside truth, into the land of insubstantial shadows that flatter the mind and lie to it. Consequences of such distraction are the loss of attentiveness, the scattering of the mind, and hardness of the heart during prayer, that is, spiritual disorder.
Okay, so again, short rule for vigilance. One part is really to pay attention to what is happening in our life. And especially what is going on I will put it this way, that we have to be aware of what we are doing and to recognize what is sin or some kind of weakness, something that goes against God's commandments, Gospel's commandments. How we react to these moments is very important, because many times we just say, oh, I did it again, and we continue in our life, and this is not good. Even if there is an intention that, well, I have to confess this, and we continue with our life. What is better way or correct way is to really stop and to do repentance. It is good if we are able to, when we fail, when we are able to immediately run to Christ with tears and to beg for forgiveness immediately. I love this one story, which is in this collection of sayings of Holy Desert Fathers, Abergatinos. I was touched with one when monk, he had some kind of passion he couldn't conquer, and it happened to him that he sinned several times per day. And usually when it happened, he left everything. What he was doing, he was running to a church. He made prostration in front of the icon of Christ, and he was begging for forgiveness, and he was promising that I don't want to do it again, please help me. But many times happened that when he left church, and after a few minutes he committed the same sin, so he immediately was running back to the church and doing the same thing again. And the story says that God always forgave him and had mercy on him, and so in the end there was this some kind of vision there that Satan appeared in a visible form, and he was arguing with Christ that, look, for me, I sinned only once and I was put forever to hell, and to this monk you are forgiving again, you are sworn per day, so you are not just. He was accusing Christ. And Christ said, well, I am just because I am judging people on the state in which they die. And he said, if he dies in sin, he'll be judged again according to sin. But if he dies begging for mercy, he will be judged by mercy. And to And he called this monk who was making prostration in front of icon to eternity at that moment. Well, I mean, this monk was not perfect. He was really, and this is amazing, and these sayings of Holy Fathers, they, or these Desert Fathers, they don't pretend that there are some kind of saints. They don't pretend that there is no sin. They don't cover like weaknesses, you know, own weaknesses. But what is amazing on this, that this monk was practicing something like immediately was begging for help. And because of that, when death came as a gift of mercy and from God, God chose to take him at the time when he was in this grace. And this is very important exercise for us, not only when we learn really to express our sorrow, pain of heart when we do something, even if it is many times per day, when we beg for his mercy, it's good exercise for us because we will be able to receive God's grace. Because if we say only, well, okay, I failed, okay, I will confess this, I will make a mark in mental notes that, well, I have to address in confession, I'm moving on with my life. This intention is not very perfect because it doesn't create this movement in our heart which pushes us to go closer to Christ and to search for his mercy and forgiveness. And it so it means that we are missing opportunity to form our heart. And he says that we are doing that, but we don't run to God's mercy. What he says is that it causes scattering of the mind during prayer and hardness of the heart during prayer. That many times we try to pray and we feel some kind of coldness of the heart, inability to pray. But well, if we were not running towards Christ during day, many times if this pain over our weakness, which was visible through our thoughts, acts, words. So then how can we expect that we are able to pray well evening? Right. Comments, question? Nothing. Good. So let's continue.
Okay. In the evening, as you prepare for sleep, which is the death of the day that has passed, examine your actions during the day. For him who leads a watchful, attentive life, such examination of the self is not difficult, because as a result of his watchfulness, his forgetfulness, so usual for a scatterbrained person, is destroyed. Thus, having remembered all the sins of the day done in deed, thought, word, or emotion, bring them to God with repentance and a firm intention to correct yourself. Then, after reading the prayer rule before sleep, finish the day that began with thoughts of God in the same way. Where do the thoughts and emotions of a sleeping person go? What a mysterious state is sleep, during which the soul and body are alive and yet not alive, outside the knowledge of their own life, as though they were already dead. Sleep is as unknowable as death. During sleep, the soul rests, forgetting all the worst sorrows and pains of the world, in an image of the eternal rest. But the body, if it rises from sleep every day, then it will doubtlessly rise up from the dead as well. As the great Agathon said, it is impossible to progress in the virtues without intense watchfulness over yourself. Amen.
Oh, this was, they don't need an explanation. And, well, I would just stress this last paragraph, that it is impossible to progress in the virtues without intensive watchfulness over yourself. So he gave us, Brianchino gave us several very good advices, practical advices, what to do and how to really raise many times our mind, our soul towards God, which is connected with this vigilance, that it increases our vigilance toward everything, toward our soul, toward our salvation, or our soul. And if we use these tools, he mentioned, there are many, many more, but if we use those, only those, it is, our experience will be that God will be uncovering for us other ways. When we progress more, suddenly we start to see, okay, this is another good advice. We heard about many times, but we never followed that. But we realize that now we are ready to receive and to follow other advices. The most important thing is to start with that, start to practicing those things. And now we can see that if we remember this first part when he was talking about morning prayers, now he's finishing with evening prayers and time between those two prayers. So we can see that it is not something what I am supposed to do as a duty to say prayers. It is really this connection with this invisible world. It is entering to this connection with my God who loves me and he wishes to give me eternal life, who wishes me to guide during this life. And he wants to give us everything what we need for that. So each my effort, you know, that to be attentive to God, to these higher spiritual things, brings our ability to recognize this great God's help and guidance. Many we don't really, we spiritual life is relatively simple if we give up a little bit of our own wisdom and we let God to lead us in this simplicity. All right. If there is no question, I think we are not going to start new chapter, but well, what I need is that you can read, because we are not going through this his reflection about death, about cemetery, thoughts on grave, and we will start on next time with chapter 30, thoughts on death. It's a very interesting topic. But talking about this vigilance during day, I tell you one story about one seminary, and he was in my class, and we were together in a room, There were six of us was in a small room because there was like a lot of seminarians, not big building. And he was like, at the time, no, we all knew that he's a monk, Basilian monk. But at the time during communists, they were underground, so he was like regular seminarian. And he was like really man of prayer. And many times during the day, you could see, I can see that he was following this, to using this time many times during the day to some make a break for prayer, for God. And but once happened, it's happened many times, but one evening was very interesting. When we went to sleep, light was at 10 o'clock, all lights had to be like turned off, about to sleep. But you know, sometimes you cannot sleep, young people, you know, so. But he went to sleep immediately. So we were like whispering, talking, and suddenly we heard that he, from sleep, he starts, blessed is your God, always, now and ever, and forever. Amen. Blessed is the kingdom of. And we said, oh, yeah, Stephen, he starts liturgy now. And so we were making like fun of him a little bit. But then morning, you know, he was like from, he's still asleep. He's saying like, glory to you, Christ our God, our whole glory to you. So we said, we were laughing that Stephen, he had very long homily, if he's just finished liturgy now. But, you know, it was funny, but I was impressed at the time. You know, that I thought, well, if I am able to follow his some kind of this rule, maybe because he was consumed, even in sleeping, he was taken by prayer. It was very impressive for me. And but this happens. If we are growing in vigilance to these spiritual things, then even this sleep will be, our spirit will be somehow in the that prayer mode with our will. Very, very good man.
I've been told by traveling companions that sometimes I talk in my sleep, guarantee it's not prayer.
Oh, okay.
It's not prayer.
We appreciate your humility. Okay, thank you very much.